Welcome to the Lawyers, Guns, and Money podcast.
Welcome, Lawyers, Guns, and Money listeners, to the latest Lawyers, Guns, and Money podcast. My name is Rob Farley, and joining me today are Eric Loomis and Scott Lemieux, and today we are going to talk football. More specifically, we're going to talk the National Football League and what the Lawyers, Guns, and Money projections you can take to the bank, hopefully also with some money that you should use in some other fashion, because really, you should not gamble. Let me emphasize, you should not gamble on any of these predictions. But anyway, gentlemen, how are you guys doing today?
Very well. Doing pretty well.
Other than the under attack by the, apparently YAF is still a thing and still joining forces with the poor man's Alan Dershowitz to try to get you fired again.
Yeah, it's been another fascist day for me, but you know, what they call that Wednesday in my world.
They call it 2020, right?
That's
something
right.
has
right.
to be going
That's
on
right.
in 2020. So I think that We're going to start off here with basically the assumption that the season is actually going to be played, which looks likely at this point. And with any luck, you guys will be listening to this before the beginning of Thursday night's game. So why don't we start off with the AFC and start off with the AFC East? What are our thoughts about a suddenly Tom Brady-less AFC East?
My thought is that the Cam Newton pickup was pretty brilliant, that it really could pay off in huge dividends. I mean, obviously he was a little broken at the end of Carolina, but there was no possible quarterback the Patriots could have gotten that could do more in that system than Newton. And while there are some weaknesses on the team right now, I still think that they're still a team to beat in the East.
The amazing thing is that Eric is making the legitimately contrarian pick. Like right now, the Bills are chalk. I think they're the betting favorite, and they're mostly being picked to win. I am actually leaning in that direction, too, as reluctant as I am, although I think it's much closer. So essentially, the biggest reason I'm skeptical of the Bills is Josh Allen. And basically, you know, I'll concede he's been better than I expected. If other people will concede that his better than expected is still like somewhere between below average and replacement level. But the case for the Bills is that they have a really high floor in that, you know, they have a good coaching infrastructure. They now definitely have the best defense in the division. And, you know, Allen was good enough to get them to the playoffs last year, and that's without Stephon Diggs. So the Bills also have like a much better, you know, offensive personnel than the Patriots do. I would still pick the Patriots. My other concern is just the losses they've had on defense to their front seven. You know, losing, you know, and obviously the Seahawks fans here don't have to be told about Dante Hightower and how important he is. You know, Collins left as a free agent. So between like losing people and the COVID casualties, you know, you've got, you know, and I think Newton still can be good, but my two concerns are that like the offensive personnel in the Patriots is not good. They're losing the offensive line coach. And the other concern I have is that Newton is very injury prone and they have nothing, you know, behind them. They've got, you know, professional clipboard carrier, Brian Hoyer, and, you know, the New England Christian Hackenberg. So I think the Patriots could win the division. I think it's like a 4-10 thing. And you're probably really dumb to bet against Belichick, but I actually understand the case for Buffalo. Essentially, as of now, their defense is better. And I would certainly take Newton over Allen, but, you know, the Bills have more offensive talent and there's concern not only about Newton being injury prone, but it's also just not clear. You know, he clearly has more ability than he's shown the last 2 years, but, you know, those injuries have also taken a toll. So it was a really great signing. I agree. He was the best available quarterback, but, you know, but that's really what it's going to come down to. You know, if Newton is anything like his MVP self, the Patriots will win, but, you know, he's going to have to be good to win. But you're obviously, Eric, you're confident that he will, that we're going to see a resurrection here.
I mean, I think that I believe in Belichick. I think that the Patriots defense is really strong. You know, that they'll create a scheme where it's less likely that Newton is going to get hurt. But in the end, I think that the AFC in general is pretty weak. To me, the NFC is a vastly stronger conference. And so I wouldn't surprise me a bit if Buffalo sneaks into the playoffs. I don't think they're a bad team, but I just really don't believe in Josh Allen. You know, I mean, he's maybe, again, I guess he's better than Josh Rosen or Darnold maybe, or some of the other you know, recent quarterbacks that have come in the league, but not that much better. And to me, at the best, you know, his peak to me is, despite his athletic ability, is an average quarterback, and I don't think he's there yet. So I need somebody to actually win the AFC East or the New England before I'm going to believe that that's going to happen.
I think that's a pretty sound, you know.
So I'm appalled that we've gone this far into the conversation and we have not talked about a young gunslinger named Ryan Fitzpatrick. Who, I think is going to be the core. One thing that's interesting is that the splits on in terms of predictions on the Patriots are really wild right now. So like 538 has the Patriots winning. ESPN has the Patriots at 5-11. Or at least one of the ESPN simulations. And I didn't dig in to see whether they were assuming Cam would get hurt at some point. But, I'm going to go with the Bills, right? I mean, I wouldn't say I trust Josh Allen, but there's room for growth. There's other stuff around him. I think the less said about the lower two teams in the division, the better. I sort of like Eric suggests, I don't think it's unlikely that we'll see, or it's impossible that we'll see two playoff teams from this division. But I think the division winner, you know, may come away as Josh Allen and the Bills.
And the other two teams you basically have, you know, the Dolphins are at least an interesting and well coached bad team, and the Jets are an extremely badly coached bad team, you know, essentially destroying the career of a young quarterback.
Until relegation in the NFL, the Jets are an NFL football team. We can say that.
Exactly. And Adam Gase is, in the most formal sense, an NFL head coach.
All right, so let's bounce over to the NFC East, where there is a lot of interesting stuff going on. You have several young, interesting quarterbacks here. I don't even know if we can really talk about Prescott and Wentz as young quarterbacks anymore, right? I mean, they're sort of established quarterbacks at this point. What are your guys' feelings on the NFC East?
My feeling is that once again, I just think the hire of Mike McCarthy by Dallas is going to blow up in their faces. I mean, he was a crappy, people are hyping the Cowboys so much. It looks like they do have talent. But he was a terrible coach in Green Bay. And I just need little reason to think he has even the capability of learning why he never won in Green Bay with one of the top five quarterbacks of all time, except for one Super Bowl. And I think it's going to be the Eagles. I think the Eagles are a real strong team. They have health issues, and you got to keep Wentz healthy for that to happen. But I would say that the Eagles, to me, are fairly strong favorite over a Cowboys team that I think is going to is going to disappoint like they've done almost every year for the last decade.
I mean, really, the last 2.5 decades or so. I mean, it's been a while. I mean, the Cowboys are perennial Super Bowl are discussed as such. But even, you know, during the Romo era, I mean, there was nothing happening. So
I'm in the weird position of not only disagreeing with Eric, but disagreeing contrary to one of my own longstanding hobby horses. And with some misgivings, I'm going to pick the Cowboys. My main reason is just that, like, Dak Prescott is, I was going to say inexplicably underrated. I would say actually very explicitly, explicitly and understandably underrated. But, you know, basically, if you look, you know, basically by any metric, you know, Prescott has been a top 5 or 6 quarterback. You know, it's been several years since Rodgers is better than Prescott. And a lot of that time without necessarily impressive surrounding personnel. I would not have hired Mike McCarthy, but the one thing to consider is that, like, you know, he just has to be better than Jason Garrett, who's now going to be calling plays for the Giants, which is hilarious. And I think there's, like, over the long term, I don't think they're winning with McCarthy, but really, like, just, you know, the dead count, you know, because McCarthy wasn't bad his first years in Green Bay. The real problem was that, you know, he just didn't do anything. You know, like, he just kind of stopped making decisions about 5 years into his tenure. Although, I think one thing we know now, too, is that the breakdown of Rodgers, you know, it's not like Rodgers didn't really get a lot better without McCarthy. So I do think that there's some of the breakdown in that relationship, I think, is actually on Rodgers. But, you know, that's what I'm saying. Again, I don't think, you know, obviously, you know, I owe McCarthy forever for gifting us an NFC championship. Like, I think he's a bad in-game coach. I don't think he's a great coach. And look, I mean, I like the organization the Eagles have better. I like Peterson better. Wentz is, I don't think, quite as good as Prescott. He's really good. But I just think the injuries are, I mean, losing Dillard is huge. The surrounding, the offensive personnel there is not great. So basically, like, I think that if both the Eagles and Cowboys had the best versions of their roster, I would bet on the Eagles just because, like, I like their coaching a lot more. I like their organization more. But I just think with those injuries, the Cowboys have enough. And Amari Cooper's actually really underrated as well. So I just think that, you know, right now they're healthier and I think have the better quarterback, although I like Wentz. So I would marginally pick the Cowboys, although it certainly wouldn't surprise me to see the Eagles win. And I probably like, and I think the Eagles have a really good chance of getting a wild card if they don't win the division. But that's, so again, I agree about McCarthy, but there are other things I like about the Cowboys that would compel me to pick them given the health issues in Philly.
Yeah, so, I mean, interestingly enough, so 538 and ESPN are actually in pretty much agreement that the Cowboys and Eagles are almost identical. I mean, they 10-6, 9-7, which is interesting. So for the reasons, sort of Wentz and the organizational reasons, I would probably go with the Eagles over the Cowboys, but I think that the distance there is really, really small. Before we leave this division, what is our evaluation of Daniel Jones, right? So the Giants were sort of roundly trashed for drafting Daniel Jones, and I mean, he honestly was not all that bad last year.
Yeah, I mean, he was a functional NFL quarterback, which honestly you can't ask for too much more out of a first-year quarterback. And so... clearly the pick was better than he was paying. I mean, I certainly thought it was a ridiculous pick as well. So I think this will be a real tell year. I mean, you know, Rick Meyer was a pretty awesome quarterback his first year too, and ended up being a pretty much a tomato for the rest of his career. And so I think this is going to be a really important developmental year. I mean, he does have Saquon Barkley, which certainly doesn't hurt. But I think this is going to be a very, very telling year for Jones and for the future of the Giants.
Yeah, I mean, on the one end, the analytics systems actually don't like Jones at all. He actually came in just slightly below Joe Flacco in DVOA, which is not good. But having said that, a lot of that was just because of his fumbles. So I think that the optimistic case for Jones is that he looked really good his first two starts. And he kind of, you know, that, and it seems like the fumbles are a problem that can be corrected. He certainly seemed to show that he had an NFL arm. And again, it's not like, you know, he's not exactly dealing with phenomenal receiving talent there either. So I think that there's, you know, I think that he is better than his numbers showed last year. And I think he's sort of interesting. But it's just hard to like anything about, you know, I don't know if you guys are familiar with the saga of the Giants traded up to draft a cornerback last year. A, he was terrible. And then B, he was indicted in the offseason for armed robbery and was just released by the Giants. So that's, you know, so as bad as the Saquon Barkley pick is, that was considerably
not the worst run franchise in this division. I am simply going to refer to the Washington Football Club as the Rough Riders this year because that's what that's Canadian practice.
No, right? Well, that'd be the one word or two words. That's important.
I think the two words works well. So
you're the Ottawa version.
Which is perfect, right? I mean that's perfect.
They can borrow the Teddy Roosevelt mascot from the Nationals and just, you know, seamless transition.
Right. It's perfect. This is a movement. We can start this rolling right now. So, although I guess that would be lionizing Teddy Roosevelt, and we're not going to do that either at this moment. So,
I think Teddy Roosevelt and the Washington Football Club are a perfect marriage. Actually, I like it.
they really are. Yeah, both complicit with genocide.
Yeah. But oh, yeah. I mean, that's the very rarely do like really bad rich people get what they deserve in this country. But this football team is what Daniel Snyder deserves. That's
fun. And unfortunately for our colleague Elizabeth, that she has to be saddled with this. So,
yeah, rough. Well, yeah. But at least as rough as a year as this has been, she's got the World Series in her back pocket. So I think as Mariners fans,
I wouldn't know that.
Yeah. I have no idea. Extra bittersweet for me because, of course, I was the franchise's former iteration, which also never made a World Series. So in my 48 years on Earth, I have never cheered for a team that has even made an appearance in the World Series, which is kind of impressive.
Yes. Let's all revisit this tragedy another time. Batsing over to the AFC North, which has a couple of pretty good football teams.
Actually, one of the more interesting divisions, to be honest.
Yeah, no, I think so, too.
I mean, I mean, what are you going to say about Baltimore that hasn't been said? I think that with the Ravens, I mean, the critical issue there, I mean, they are a great team. You know, it's a great franchise. I think that Lamar Jackson is pretty amazing. You know, they have good coaching and everything else. I do think that the one downside is that, you know, Jackson's passing to this point has not quite been elite. And when the Ravens do fall behind, it's a little hard for them to catch up. And so I think they'll win this division. I think that they are an excellent team, but you know, I do kind of worry that they're going to be one of these teams, like say the late 90s Vikings, that's really, really good year after year, but just can't quite get over the top because of one or two little flaws that aren't so easy to fix. But certainly the potential's there to be a Super Bowl winning team.
Yeah, I mean, no, unquestionably the best team in the division. And you know, the pandemic obviously is going to place a particularly high premium on continuity, keeping similar units together, having good systems and coaching staffs. And I think that's a big advantage to organizations that have a long history of quality. And, that's one of the ironies of the Browns being hyped up is, at what point did they become the best organization, even in their own division? It's just, it's just nuts. And that also brings us to, and I think the Ravens are obviously the pick to win the division. The other interesting, the Steelers are actually really interesting in that they went 8-8 last year getting, sub replacement level quarterback play. So if like Roethlisberger comes back and is even 80%, of what he's been in the past, you don't root for him. But that's a team that's, should at least be a wild card team. If they get healthy quarterback play, because they've really rebuilt an impressive defense there. Tomlin is in the Pete Carroll school of, he does some really weird shit, but other than Belichick, who's better? and ultimately, he's run a really successful program. And I think it's a rare case where, getting rid of some bad actors actually was something they needed to do. I think that that's, certainly if there's an injury to Jax or something like that, the Steelers are good enough to win the division. And I would expect them to be a wild card, which is bad news for the Browns. So I do think, that having gotten rid of Freddie Kitchens, I mean, I do think there's some legitimate talent there. But it's going to be, if Roethlisberger is healthy, I don't see how they're finishing above third. And there's real, plus, Beckham really hasn't been Beckham for 2 years. I like Chubb. I do think Mayfield is better than he showed last year. Stefanski's kind of an interesting coaching prospect, but yeah, they seem to be pretty clearly the third best team in the division.
Yeah. One of the things that surprises me, and we had a lot of fun about this last year, especially with our resident Browns fan in our football group, but how rapidly the narrative on the Browns has changed, right? I mean, it wasn't exactly true that people were expecting a 14-2 team last year, but people were being expansive in their hopes. And now it feels like there's perhaps has been a touch of overcorrection with respect to what we can anticipate from the Browns. I'm also intrigued. I'm in agreement with both of you, and as our ESPN and 538 with respect to the Ravens Steelers ranking. Do you guys expect that we will see anything from Joe Burrows this year? I mean, just watching that championship game, he looked as NFL ready as any quarterback I can remember seeing at all. Just the way he dominated that game.
Well. He's such a fascinating prospect because he's such a fascinating prospect because, he came out of nowhere. Like he was not, even on the draft radar screen at the beginning of the year, maybe a 6th, 7th round pick, and then had arguably the most dominant season or one of the most dominant seasons in the history of college football. And the LSU offense was just nuts. And I don't, no one can argue he's not deserving of that first pick, I think, at least at this moment. But I think that the question anybody has to answer is that I just don't know, right? I mean, who knows what Burrow is really going to offer. I mean, it's hard to know with any first round quarterback thrown into the mix. But with Burrow, I think that there's obviously reason to hope if you're a Bengals fan, but who knows?
Yeah, I would certainly be optimistic long term, but. Yeah, there's not a lot of infrastructure there for him to work with. So, and is he even starting the year, right?
That is my understanding. He's one of the few. So Tua is not starting the year. Herbert is not starting the year. But my understanding is that Burrow will be starting the year for the Bengals.
Yeah. And that at least does give them some up, you know, so it'll be fun. You know, there's certainly the possibility that he can be the, you know, the sort of Andrew Luck level prospect who can more or less transform your team overnight. But I wouldn't, you know, they're pretty rare. I mean, even really good prospects are, you know, you can't expect them to be Luck or Russell Wilson. And he doesn't have the multi-year, you know, Luck and Wilson had legitimate multi-year track record success, although Wilson did take a leap forward in his last year. And really, yeah, Wilson would have been a top five pick if he was 2 inches taller. You know, so whereas, you know, that's the Eric pinpointed it that, you know, going into the year, he would not have been considered a top prospect. And it's kind of hard to know what to make of that. But my understanding is it's not like, you know, Orbison is considered to be some kind of offensive genius, right? Like it's not like you can put it down to the system or anything. Like he just seemed just freakishly good. So yeah, it's hard to say, but at least it makes it interesting to be a Bengals fan, which is pretty, you know, given the franchise's quarterbacking since Ken Anderson is or
Andy Dalton. Yeah. Boomer. Let's not forget Boomer Esiason here.
Boomer,
Andy Dalton was a special kind of purgatory for Cincinnati Bengals fans. So to bounce now over to the NFC North, the projections just do not like any of these teams really at all. And there's not in either 538 or the ESPN system, there's not a lot of agreement on which one is best or that any of them are any good.
Yeah. And again, I'm with the chalk on that one. I don't, if I could just not pick a division winner, I would. What do you think, Eric?
I mean, I got to go the Vikings, I guess. But I mean, obviously, this is not a great division. We'll see about the Packers, you know, the Lions and the Bears. The Bears are hopeless as long as they have Trubisky. And the Lions will probably go 6-10 again or 7-9 like they do every year. So, I mean, you know, somebody's going to win this division, then they're going to lose in the wild card round.
I don't really have much analytical good reason for this, but I do have a rooting interest here for the Lions, right? I mean, I would actually like the Lions and Stafford to do well this year, right? I mean, he's been a fine quarterback for a while, and I mean, it would be good if they could punch through, and it does seem like there's not much of a wall to punch through here. Although I think I do have to agree that the Vikings are probably the best team.
Yeah, well, I should say you do have analytics on your side, Rob, in the sense that the DVOA actually has the Lions as very mild favorites. They are the best team in projected team in the division with 8.2 projected wins. So that I think says a lot. I mean, the case for the Lions is you can argue that Stafford is the best, you know, in terms of performance. You know, Rodgers has not been a top 10 quarterback in like 5 years. It seems weird to say that, but, you know, at the minimum, the difference between Rodgers and Stafford is much less than the conventional wisdom would have. Like, Stafford is actually good. And I actually like the Lions actually have better receivers. They've made attempts to improve the running game, although I'm not wild about the running game. And the Adrian Peterson signing is sort of why I'm still not going to pick the Lions, which is that I still look at Matt Patricia and Daryl Bevel on the sideline and like, yeah, no. I just, you know, like I think the right coach could absolutely win this division with the Lions personnel, but I see no evidence whatsoever that Patricia's that coach. And when we're talking about racism, can we talk about the Lions firing Jim Caldwell, who's like essentially the most successful coach in their modern history? And again, he, you know, was not the greatest in-game tactician I've ever seen, but, you know, it's pretty hard to explain, you know, why he got canned after going over 500. And Patricia seems in no danger at all, although he's, you know, face planted with the same personnel. So I think the Lions, if they had a good coach, I might be tempted to pick them. But yeah, I think what you have to like about the Lions, just that like Zimmer sort of gives that team a floor. You know, they're really well coached. Cousins is, you know, decent. I don't like the fact that they basically gave Diggs away for nothing. Like, you know, I think that they're a worse team than they were a year ago, but I think they're the safest pick just in that they're sort of the least disaster potential than sort of a grinded out division. I like the Vikings to kind of win a couple of those close games that get them over the top. And, you know, the Packers are interesting, but again, it's, you know, last year I was optimistic about the Packers and it seemed to be just fine that they were 13-3, but you know, you look at their point differential, you know, you look at the fact that Rodgers didn't really improve. You know, there's still not a lot of talent that he has to work with. So yeah, I would say Minnesota, but really none of Minnesota, Green Bay, or the Lions would surprise me. And I don't think any of them are going anywhere after the, you know, in terms of the playoffs. You know, basically all of these teams I would have, you know, pick fourth in the West. So it's a pretty underwhelming division. But I'm with you. Just, I think the Vikings are the pick just because I think they're the best organization, and absent a clear talent differential, that's what I'd go with.
All right. What about shifting back to the AFC now, to the AFC South?
Another really, glorious division.
Yeah, no, you got a lot of stuff going on in this division here. Some interesting stuff, you know, one of which is, of course, the Tannehill-led Titans and Derrick Henry, which I suppose is my pick. I suppose that the Titans look the best of these teams. I don't know. I mean, the only one that's really terrible are the Jags. So what are you guys' feelings on what's going to happen here?
I'm leaning toward the Colts in a very minor lead. I mean, I you know, the quarterback play. Well, I mean, we'll see what Rivers can do. You know, he's obviously not the quarterback he once was. But I really like the Forrest Buckner signing. They have a good defense. They've got a really great offensive line. You know, weak division, I'm tending to go with them. I mean, Tennessee, you know, obviously, hey, they were great last year, but it really has the feeling of that kind of one-hit wonder that you see pretty frequently in NFL, where a team sort of comes out of nowhere, oftentimes playing a pretty easy schedule, makes it to the playoffs, everybody kind of gets behind them, but the talent's really not that deep there, and I really feel Tennessee's probably going to take some kind of step back. Houston, again, as long as Bill O'Brien's actually running that team, I just am really skeptical in terms of just the management of the team and the roster, that they've given away so much for so little. So, but, you know, you certainly could see Houston winning. And I mean, Sean Watson's by far the best quarterback in that division.
Right, no doubt. We should also say about Tennessee that, I mean, they have rode Derrick Henry a lot over the past 2 years, and it would not be surprising to see an injury or some sort of degradation of performance.
Yeah. I mean, the models love Indianapolis, and in fact, the Football Outsiders have them projected with the same win total as the Seahawks, just ahead of the Cowboys. And I think the logic, again, it's a little bit, it's sort of a similar logic to the Steelers, which is that, you know, the team was pretty good last year, you know, getting really weak quarterback play. And you don't even have to assume that Rivers is going to be like peak Rivers. If Rivers is like 80% of classic Phil Rivers, you have to like them. And so I think when I come out tomorrow, I think I'm probably going to end up picking the Colts. But I do like the Titans a little bit more than the analytics. And I would say a couple things in their favor. I mean, first, the Clowney signing, I think is an effective counter to the Brucker signing. I really like that. And then the other question is that, you know, Tannehill is clearly not going to put up the season he had last year. But I don't think he's necessarily going to regress all the way back. And I think I have two words for that, which is Adam Gase. I think that there's very legitimate reason to think that although he overachieved last year, he was a lot better than he showed when he was in Miami. So I think that, you know, Tannehill is kind of going to be kind of sort of end up sort of in between what he was before last year and what he was last year, which is still pretty good. I think Vrabel's an excellent coach. I do like the defense there. I think Indianapolis is probably the best team in the division, but I like the Titans. I would certainly put them, just a bit behind. And then the Texans are a wild card. Like when you have Deshaun Watson, you can win. I'm as big a critic as Bill O'Brien as anybody, but the guy has won several divisions, and he's not, as a coach, he's not terrible. The problem is that as a general manager, he's genuinely terrible. But to me, this is the year where the rent is really coming due because, you know, giving away the best receiver in the NFL and replacing him with an expensive sub-replacement level running back in a division this close, that's going to be pretty hard to overcome. And they basically are not going to win if Will Fuller isn't good, and Will Fuller is never healthy. Will it shock me if the Texans win? No, like Watson's incredible, but yeah, I think you have to rank them distinctly below the other two teams. And if Rivers is healthy and playing well, it's not like he's that, you know. I mean, you know, I think Tannehill, and I'd rather have Watson than Tannehill or an old Phil Rivers, but it's not like those teams have no passing game or quarterback play. So I think you've I would rank the Texans third. And on the Jags, let me just say that yet another example of teams who think that they can identify the special running back in the top five are virtually never correct. Oh man, Leonard Fournette. Like, did you see the quote where he's like, we tried to trade Fournette, we asked for a sixth rounder, we asked for a seventh rounder, like there was no, you know, so that's, yeah, it's just, you know, how is this like the fourth rebuild of the decade there or something? Like, Jesus.
Yeah. All right, so to possibly the most intriguing storyline for the entire season, which is going to be in the NFC South, where you know, we have Breeze and Brady in the same division, right? And they're obviously both pretty old guys, but nevertheless, there's really interesting storylines here, especially when those two teams are going to play each other. I mean, we have to start off with, how do we feel like Tom Brady relocating to Tampa Bay, which he apparently wants us to call it Tampa Bay?
You know, I don't know. He really genuinely was not that good last year. You know, yeah, Tampa has some better receivers than he had last year. That's true. Then maybe he's able to have a late, you know, comeback, but the slippage has been very, very real. And that's working in, you know, under the most brilliant coach, in the history of the NFL. So Breeze is also ancient. But Breeze's decline has not been as steep, and it's hard to call Brady's decline steep in the sense that, you know, he's arguably the best quarterback of all time. But nonetheless, if you ask me who I think are going to get better production out of this year, it's going to be.
Now, I'm looking at it right now. And last year, Breeze ranked first in DVOA and third in the ESPN metric, whereas Brady was 17th and 17th in both. So Breeze really is still at the top of his game, and Brady has declined. Now, there's a couple things to say there, which is, first of all, that, you know, the surrounding offensive personnel in New England was legitimately pretty dismal last year. There's no question that he's, you know, it's amazing to say this, but he's actually going to a much better situation. You know, he has actual playmakers to work with in Tampa Bay. And as an offensive coach, it's not like Arians is, you know, that much below Belichick McDaniels. As an overall coach, he's obviously way below Belichick, but just strictly as a play caller, you know, that, you know, that's, it's fine. But having said that, you know, I think that his, you know, Brady's success was relied on a sort of particular kind of precision passing attack, which really isn't Arians' style. You know, Arians is like, you know, the gunslinger who's got really fast receivers. So I'm not sure, not that I think Arians is an excellent coach, but I'm not sure Brady's necessarily the best style, you know, fit for his style. And the second thing is that the Saints are probably the best team in the conference. You know, they've got a lot of surrounding talent. Breeze is still great. Peyton is an excellent coach. So I just think it's going to be tough for, you know, even if Brady, you know, I think Brady could certainly be better than he was last year, at least in terms of the results. But the gap between him and Breeze is going to be awfully hard to make up. You know, and there are some other concerns, you know, I mean, the one thing, and the Bucks, they did have an improved defense last year. Yeah, and I think that there's some things to like about them. But, I mean, I think the Saints are the pretty obvious pick here. I mean, I think if they're healthy, they're the class of the division. But I think the Bucs could be a wild card contender. But they obviously have, you know, they're a very, you know, high ceiling, low floor team, just because at some point Brady's just going to do what Peyton Manning did and just not be able to play anymore. And that could be this year. Now that he's in a decline phase, that's pretty worrisome. The Bucs probably, they might have the highest non-injury related variation of any team going into the year. And the Saints, you know, the injury is the only thing that can derail them. That's just a fantastic team top to bottom.
Yeah, I mean, it's sort of unfortunate for Matt Ryan that, you know, he's left out of the conversation. He's a fine quarterback, but he's completely left out of the conversation in this division. And I would not be stunned to see the Falcons pull ahead, but I think I have to sort of be in accord here and say that the Saints are the clear favorite in this division.
I mean, the Falcons, every year since they lost the Super Bowl, you think, oh, that's a pretty good team. And, you know, you can say so too now. Julio Jones is still an amazing player. Maybe Gurley can reclaim some of what he's lost. You know, they have talent, but you know, does anybody really believe in them at this point? And I can't say that I do. The defense isn't really that good. You know, Ryan's not getting any younger or any better. So, I mean, I could easily see them going 8-8, 9-7. I could see them potentially sneaking into the playoffs. I have a real hard time seeing them win the division.
No, they're not a bad team. Like, I probably like them more than any team in the North, but against this guy, you know, I certainly like the Bucks more, you know, and Ryan has slipped down a little. That's also like what it is exactly that Dan Quinn does. Like, you know, he's a defensive specialist and the defense, you know, like basically improved for about 6 weeks in that Super Bowl year. And so, you know, he's, I don't really, you know, again, it's another mystery how he's kept his job for so long. So I'd like the Falcons a lot more if, you know, they had a new direction and a new coaching staff, but yeah, I don't think that they're going to seriously contend in this division. Although I do think Ryan's an underrated player.
All right, so let's shift over to the final two divisions, and really, I think, what are our favorite two. So the first is the AFC West, where the modeling seems unsurprisingly, and you can correct me if I'm wrong here, Scott, seems unsurprisingly to favor the Chiefs to do very, very well. I don't see any reason to have any serious questions about that.
Are you saying that they don't regret taking Patrick Mahomes and passing on Mitch and not trading up to get Mitch Trubisky?
They may not have any specific regrets about that particular decision at this point.
Sorry for the Bears fans out there, but notice how we didn't even mention the Bears when we were talking about the Chiefs.
No.
I think Derek briefly
Trubisky's
them,
terrible. We can ignore them as long as we have Trubisky, exactly. And then we ignored them.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, I mean, the Chiefs are just, I mean, they have the highest win. I mean, you know, Mahomes is the best quarterback in football right now. And, you know, Andy Reid, you know, whatever his faults, is an outstanding offensive, you know, and a good head coach in general. I mean, really, you know, the only complaint you could have about his track record is the postseason, and he has a Super Bowl ring. So, you know, he's, you know, as good as any non-Belichick coach in the league. They're loaded with talent. Their defense has improved from where it was 2 years ago. So yeah, I mean, if Mahomes is healthy, this is one of the two or three best teams in the NFL. And the only question is whether there can be a wild card in there behind them.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Mahomes plus Andy Reid plus even an average defense plus Tyreek Hill plus Kelsey. I don't see how anybody can pick against them. To me, they're clear Super Bowl favorites.
Yeah, I mean, that game against the Texans was perfect. Like, everything conceivable went wrong. It was like that Oregon State Notre Dame game, the Dennis Erickson years, where, you know, the refs tried to prop up Notre Dame like weekend at Bernie's, and it was still like 45-3 the first time. You know, so like basically everything went wrong, and they still wasn't even close at the end. Yeah, that's just a devastating team. Unfortunately for your brother, although he may not know about this, the injury to Von Miller, pretty much the Broncos were getting some attention as kind of a dark horse contender, but I think we can forget that now. and I think the quarterback has a lot to prove too. Like, you know, he's sort of one of those like Daniel Jones. Like, he sort of has showed that he was not completely incapable last year, but he didn't really show that he was, you know, a franchise quarterback either. I do like some of the, like, they do seem like Elway for the first time in years actually seems to be like drafting competently, and they do, like, I like Cortland Sutton. I like some of the talent that they're surrounding him with, but, you know, their best chance was to have an okay offense and have a great pass rush, and, you know, unfortunately, but at least Elway didn't waste most of Von Miller's career with a bunch of like shitty, like tall, random quarterbacks. So that's good.
Yeah, no, I mean, you kind of like a little bit of what the Broncos are doing, but they're not even close, especially without Miller. I mean, I could actually see maybe the Chargers finishing second. Again, I don't know. I mean, Tyrod Taylor, you're not going to really win with him. Justin Herbert, who of course I love, is a duck, but is he really going to be ready to come in and play this year? Maybe, but I do think their defense is pretty outstanding. You know, they have Joey Bosa. You know, that's a pretty huge, but I don't think that the division outside of Kansas City is really all that interesting. I mean, the Raiders maybe, but, you know, the team's kind of a mess on so many levels, and we'll see, we'll see what happens under, you know, another year of Gruden.
Yeah, I mean, the Raiders, I would for reasons just not be shocked, just because I don't know, Gruden is so unpredictable. But it would have to be incredibly shocking for the Raiders to be able to prevail against, or to be able to outpace the Chiefs, right? It would not, I mean, it's just not something that I think is particularly reasonable. I have, you know what, and you and I have talked about this, right? I have a lot of skepticism about Herbert as a pro, even though he has all the physical tools that he needs to be a pro, right? I mean, a very similar to Josh Allen is the way people seem to be thinking about him, right? And of course, Marcus Mariota continues his illustrious career by joining the injured reserve as the most highly paid backup in the NFL right now, so...
Yeah. So I obviously have to take your word on Herbert. And I think he's more interesting long range prospect for this year. The case for the Raiders is at least a wild card team is that, you know, and I can't make it out, but like Derek Carr was legitimately good last year. You know, again, pick your metric. He was a top 10 quarterback. And it's just bizarre in that, you know, his results bounce around every year with no obvious connection to like changes in personnel or coaching, right? It's just really weird, but you know, he is capable. And I would say there's a, you know, John Gruden there's a bit of a Bill O'Brien issue in that, like, I don't really like him as a general manager, but like as a coach, he's okay. You know, you could certainly do a lot worse, especially as an offensive coach. So the Raiders are actually kind of interesting. You know, I would say that they, you know, they have more upside than the Chargers, but I could also see things unraveling there. You know, I think the Chargers are a little more solid, but you know, Tyrod, I like him, but he definitely limits here. You know, I mean, the fact that he couldn't, you know, keep the job in Cleveland, even though Hugh Jackson was desperate not to play Mayfield, was not a great sign. You know, he's older. He's more over, you know, he's pretty old now too. So, you know, I think that, you know, the Chargers are like, I don't think they're going to be bad. You know, the Raiders are more interesting in that, like, I could see them winning 4 games. I could see them winning 10 games because they have a quarterback who at least has upside. But yeah, I certainly wouldn't pick them to win the division. and again, I think that the Broncos are, they're starting to head in the right direction. And I think that they're going to be a tough out, you know, but I 500, I think, would be a successful year for them.
All right. So, Eric, did you have more to say about the AFC West?
No, I think that's fine.
Okay, so let's go to the NFC West, which is probably the most interesting division here. I mean, maybe other than the NFC South, but the NFC West is really interesting. Some very interesting teams and some very interesting quarterbacks in this division. So, the bulk of the anticipation seems to be that the 49ers will repeat for the division. What do you guys think about that?
What is 530? Because I know, yeah, the Football Outsiders actually has the Seahawks projected as slightly ahead of the 49ers, although like within a half a win, so it's not really meaningful.
Yeah, so 538 has the 49ers.
No.
Okay. Yes, 49ers 41% to win the division, and the Seahawks 26%. But the Cardinals are 10%, and the Rams are 23%, so it's pretty open.
That's pretty high for the – well, okay. Yeah, I mean – I would pick the 49ers, and it's hard because, you know, obviously the Seahawks start with not only the best quarterback in the division, but one of the 3 or 4 best in football, and that's obviously a pretty big head up. And he does have, you know, with, you know, if Metcalf continues to improve, he's got 2 really good receivers for the first time ever. you know, that, so there is some surrounding talent there. The offensive line is at least marginally improved. But the Seahawks are, you know, they continue to be a very frustrating team. Wilson gives them a pretty high floor. They're going to be competitive in both the division for a wild card, but they had a bad pass rush last year and they let their best pass rusher go. I like Jamal Adams, but he doesn't really address the fundamental problems they have. And again, like, Pete Carroll is obviously a good coach, but Brian Schottenheimer is not a good defensive coordinator. They're way too obsessed with developing a running game for a team with a great quarterback. And his defensive schemes are frankly getting pretty stale. I forget the stat, like how much base defense did the Seahawks play? Like, it was just some ridiculous amount. Like, if Kyle Shanahan was calling plays for the Seahawks, I would rank them like 3 games ahead of the 49ers. But he's not. And that's a pretty big, you know, that's a huge advantage. So, you know, compared to the fact, like, I think Garoppolo is actually a little underrated. I think he's a decent quarterback. The 49ers defense will not be as good this year. I mean, they've really suffered some losses there. But the offense is going to be, is you know, but I would say this, and I think the 49ers are closer to the Seahawks offensively than the Seahawks are to the 49ers defensively. So I think either team can win, but I would think that the 49ers would win in more scenarios than the Seahawks, which again is frustrating as hell since the Seahawks should be better. But they just have some niggling flaws that the organization doesn't really seem to take seriously. And they drafted yet another like run stopping lineman with the first pick for reasons that are, you know, it's just, you know, like, in fact, like the difference between John Schneider and Carroll in the first round and the third round, it's like two completely different organizations around. Like they're great at finding late ground gems, but their first round draft picks are just appallingly bad. And that's, I think, one reason why I think I would still project the 49ers, although, you know, it's, you know, it was literally a foot away last year, and it's probably going to be pretty close this year.
Lewis?
Yeah, I mostly agree. I mean, I, you know, there is, and you don't want to read too much into these sorts of trends, but there is a significant history of Super Bowl losers declining in the next year. Whether that happens to the Niners or not, I don't know. The level of continuity is going to be important here, particularly with this season. They have a lot of that. They have George Kittle, you know, they have Deebo Samuel, they have, you know, they have Eric Armstead. I mean, they have a lot of really high quality players. The Seahawks, again, if the Seahawks had anything remotely looking like a pass rush, I might well pick the Seahawks, but I got to go probably with the Niners. But I also think this is the best division of football. While the Rams, I think, have made enough terrible decisions in terms of giving away huge contracts that I would pick them fourth. They also, at least theoretically, have the talent to win if they didn't have any injuries that would deplete their already questionable depth. And I think Arizona is on its way up. I mean, I think that Kyler Murray had a great season, and I think that they have a lot of tools. I don't think this is their year, but I do like where the Cardinals are going, and so I wouldn't totally count them out.
Oh, no, they're, you know, because, I mean, particularly since the Seahawks don't have a great defense either, and Murray looks, and Kingsbury was very impressive. I have to say, you know, his credentials weren't fantastic, but, you know, he looks good. You know, he seemed to do a really good job, you know, and Murray looks really good. You know, they fleeced Bill O'Brien, which admittedly not the hardest thing in the world, but, you know, getting rid of that Johnson contract is really important for a team going forward. So, yeah, there's not really, and again, I think the Rams are, you know, they're so much not as good as we anticipated they would be at this point that I think, I think you could make a case that they would be favored if they were in the North. They're just, you know, I think Goff is, but, you know, that's the biggest problem is that Goff is pretty clearly the worst quarterback in this division. And I think the other thing is that, you know, Shanahan, and he has, you know, again, is, you know, outside of the fourth quarter of Super Bowls in which he suddenly turns into Rich Kota or something. You know, he's done it with multiple teams. You know, so this isn't a situation where, you know, whereas with McVay, I think there's a real question of whether he has a second act that really since Belichick humiliated him in the Super Bowl, you know, the team does not look as far advanced schematically as it did. And I think we all know that like Goff is a competent quarterback, but he's not going to make plays on by himself the way Murray can and the way Wilson can. You know, and, you know, they're just so much, you know, a Stars and Scrubs roster can't really afford to have, you know, have Gurley blow up and give away for nothing. You know, it's just that, you know, so in this division, they're in bad shape. But, you know, I don't consider them an easy out either. You know, it's not like you're going to go into the Rams and think, well, that's a week you can take off. So this is a tough division. And logically, a wild card team could come out of this division, but that's one thing is that there's really no easy games. With Arizona now being a really credible, it could actually be pretty tough to win 10 or 11 games in this division. So it'll actually be pretty interesting.
Yeah, I'd probably pick the Rams to win the North if they were in it. Or at least they'd be right up there with the Vikings.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
But I have a fourth.
All right.
Yeah.
So we're sort of at the end of our time right now. And I know we agreed not to talk about COVID, but I'm just going to throw this out there. What is your over-under on the number of NFL games canceled this season because of COVID?
I believe that with the relatively rapid testing in the NFL, I do not think they will cancel any games. I think that the NFL is so money driven that they're going to be so reticent to cancel any games. And if, you know, I mean, you look at baseball, which is, you know, run by people who were not in many ways all that competent. And, you know, there was a disaster right up front with Marlins and the Cardinals, but then it's been pretty good since. And I don't think there's too much reason to think that football is going to handle it worse than the than baseball. So I tend to think they're going to just plug their way through, barring a significant outbreak on a team. So, I mean, sure, you know, if it's probably the smart play, it might be 5 to 10 games canceled, but I wouldn't be surprised if it was zero.
Yeah, five to ten is about where I'd put it. It's probably going to be difficult to avoid any outbreak altogether. Just NFL teams are just so large. You know, they are traveling. You know, the governors, you know, Republican run states are apparently going to allow fans in the stands, which is not great. And they built slack into their schedules so that, you know, can't, you know, and the way the NFL works is that, you know, you can, by canceling one game, you could basically get COVID recovery time. For, you know, young people who don't get really seriously ill. So I think there'll probably be some canceled games. I think it's going to be really hard. But, you know, I think that the, you know, in terms of finishing the season, I think that's pretty, you know, I mean, what people forget is that, and I forgot this too, that the NFL is actually going to get the testing regime the whole country should have. You can't, you know, many countries have proven that, you know, you could contain the outbreak if you could test people and you could contain people who are infected. So that, you know, because they can do that, you know, I think they should be able to get a season, you know, but certainly they'll, you know, I would think there'll probably be a few canceled games. They're anticipating, but, you know, again, you could afford that. A season is really not going to be at risk unless you get, you know, like, you know, several teams simultaneously. And I assume that they can go into some kind of bubble thing for the playoffs. I don't know if that's been decided yet, but I think baseball is going to do that. That's obviously been really successful for the NHL and NBA, who haven't had any games lost other than the, than to labor issues. So yeah, I think there'll probably be a few canceled games, but I would be pretty shocked if the season wasn't completed.
I would also say right around five. That would have been my estimate. So I'm glad we're in accord. All right, gentlemen. Well, we are just pretty much right where we should be in terms of the time of the podcast. So I want to thank you guys for joining us tonight. And I want to thank all the listeners for joining us as well.
And I should say, just to whet people's appetite, Eric and Paul and myself next week are going to be interviewing a longtime friend of the blog, Glenn Kenny, the New York Times film critic, who has an absolutely fantastic new book out about Goodfellas. So that's going to be one of the funnest podcasts we've ever done. So make sure to stay tuned, probably coming at the beginning of the week after, but definitely keep your eyes on it. Thought I would plug that in advance because I think that's going to be a lot of fun. So definitely keep your eyes peeled for that too.
I'm telling you, the garlic was cut too thin. I just can't say it. Too thin.
An aristocrat.
Thank you again for listening to the Lawyers, Guns, and Money podcast. We would like to thank Elizabeth Nelson of the Paranoid Style for supplying the music necessary to make this podcast possible. You can find this track and the rest of the Paranoid Styles catalog anywhere you can find quality music. If you would like to support the Lawyers, Guns, and Money podcast or any other aspect of the Lawyers, Guns, and Money project, please visit us at www.patreon.com/lawyersgunsandmoney or donate through the PayPal link on the main website. Thank you again,